Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Royals in action tonight here on 96.5 The Fan, starting at 6 o'clock with Josh Fringer's On Deck Show. Back to those late 7 o'clock games, huh?
Right. Well, at least it'll be over by 9. 2 hours.
Lugo versus Jack Leiter, Al's son. I think I'm going to name my son Bic if I had a last name Leiter.
That's good. Bic Leiter. Yeah.
Bic of the week. But no, it'll be Jack Leiter versus Seth Lugo. Almost mirror images of where they're at in the season. It's almost the same amount of innings, same ERA, same strikeouts. Leiter a little bit more walks. Leiter more of a fastball pitcher. Seth Lugo more of a, well, he's got like 15 pitches, so I don't know what to call him. But they'll be in action tonight. The sophomore album continues to roll on. Vern at 6. Royals pregame show at 6:30. Then the game at 7:05. All of that here on 96.5 The Fan. But again, remember when we were 94 days out?
Yeah.
Two weeks ago? We're now at 80.
Yeah, 80
and eventually
days
out. It's going to be 8 days.
Right. Eventually it's going to be like, all right, Friday, we got a game.
All right. So Max burning question of 80 days is coming to you live on 96.5 The Fan.
Your favorite game of this dynasty. So the last 8 years or so, you get to pick any game, playoffs, regular season. Your favorite game of this dynasty, and I want to hear your guys from the listeners too, 913-586-7965 to be a part of the conversation.
It really is such a good question. I don't know where to even start. I mean,
no, thank you.
I think, exactly. Yeah, I mean, but that's the great thing about this, because I think everybody's probably going to have something different, right?
For
I
sure.
Mean,
it's personal,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and what means the most to you and whatnot. I think for me, it really has to be the Tennessee AFC Championship game at home.
So good.
And because it was the first, and it was finally seeing, and you get emotional talking about it because that's what sports does to you.
You were both there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I had the opportunity. I was covering it, so I was down on the field and being awesome. Part of all of that and whatnot. And
were you red blazer that day?
It was too cold. Well, I have to go back. I had a big overcoat on because it was cold and a scarf.
That was the meat coat of Frank Clark night, right?
Yeah.
Where he kicked the door in and took their stuff. And
yeah.
Who is he? Leading Russian league?
Yeah.
Told his ass to go home.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, yeah. And then the guy with the hair stole it from me. What was his name? Jimmy Palmer?
James.
Yeah, Jimmy.
Is he doing that?
Yeah, I have no idea. That's the game because it was finally over the hump, but I also take the moment to watch the crowd, right? And I think that's important because you know how everybody's feeling and just the true emotion of that one. That for me was the one because everybody genuinely was finally relieved.
It was amazing.
That we finally made it. And I hate to say this, like it's going to sound wrong, but the more we win, I think the more fans don't appreciate it. And that, I think, was the most appreciable one because it was the first, and you didn't know if it was ever going to happen again, right? It took 50 years to get there that time. So for me, it's the Tennessee AFC Championship game because of everything that was wrapped up into that win of 50 years of everybody just having that joy. And it was wonderful.
It was euphoric.
Yeah.
It was awesome. I mean, hugging random people in the stands.
Yeah, that's
people
what sports are
crying.
About.
Yeah, exactly. Titans row behind me. Get effed. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Talking to me the whole first half, Derrick Henry, the king.
Yeah,
never heard of him. Yeah. What about you, Dusty?
I think the obvious answer for a lot of people will be the 13-second game, just because I think everyone knows to this day until you die where you were, where you were sitting,
yeah.
Who was next to you, who was in front of you, who was the guy that was like, I'm going home, I can't take it. Everybody knows where they were. But for me, my favorite game of all time was that Rams game that got moved from Mexico City to Los Angeles.
54-51?
The uniform scheme. The game
that
itself.
That made it, too. If they were just a normal uniform, like if the Rams aren't wearing yellow, it
and
may
we're not
be
wearing
as good.
All white.
Right, yeah.
I love the all white. I know some people are indifferent. But that game, even though it was a loss, was one of those games where if you needed more of an example of what Patrick Mahomes could be, that game was it, because they were just never out of it. Unfortunately, they just had Bob Sutton calling the defense, and they couldn't adjust, and they couldn't stop Jared Goff. They couldn't stop Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks.
Ball, dude. He would play and that game. So, like, to me, that game was, to me, my favorite to watch, just because I'm weird, twisted, all that. I love the whole teeter-totter effect of back and forth, back and forth.
Oh,
I don't know
epic.
Who's going to win.
Yeah, it was great.
Now,
incredible.
Again, I could put my top three, and you'd also have the Houston Texans divisional game.
Yeah, because, the comeback. Yeah,
because that game was everything, and I'll never forget this. I sat in the chair in front of Bob. Binkley sat there, and then Kent Swanson was over here when he was doing stuff with us, and I came in, and they scored. And I got up to go cut the audio and be like, sit your ass down, Dust Man. Since you've been in here, they look like a whole new team. And the comeback happened.
Yes.
Because I came in when they were down 24-0. I said, what do we do? I said, what do we talk about? And Bingo goes, I don't know, man. It's the story of my life. He's like, Chiefs fan. Like, every year, something like this. Indianapolis, Pittsburgh, Titans. Now we're down. Best team I've ever seen. And it was touchdown. Kelsey, touchdown. Yes. Kelsey, touchdown. Kelsey. And all of a sudden, block punt, tackle punt. Or not block punt, but, you know, whatever. And so, but to me, that Rams game was like a team that taught them like who they were and who Mahomes was, because that game was awesome. I mean, that was Aaron Donald's on that field.
Yeah.
And there was 15, there was 105 points scored in that game.
Chris Jones was on that field too. There's still 105 points scored in that game.
105 points scored in that game.
It is one of the most remarkable games I've ever watched. It really is. I mean, I've never seen anything like that. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It reminded me kind of like a college game almost, you know, where teams are just going back and forth and scoring at will. And it was unbelievable. The Houston game has one of my favorite, if not my favorite, Travis Kelce touchdown of all time in the corner of the end zone where he's got five Texans around him. And Mahomes just dances and throws it. And Travis is like, I didn't even know I was going to be there,
but he did.
And he threw it there, and I was there, and I caught
it.
And there were five defenders around him, man. It was
all those games, man.
But let's take Josh Allen, Sam. Go ahead for it. Yeah, go Sam Munson.
Well, that was 5 years ago. Oh. So,
and I think that one, his Mahomes had to make sure his toe was still behind the line.
So he was
dragging it. It was everything was in that play. Yeah. So good.
Have you ever seen a quarterback more aware where the line of scrimmage is?
No, it's incredible.
Ever.
It's incredible.
That yellow line, I know this is spoiler alert, that yellow line that we see, that's not on the field.
It's not there.
Nope. And when it tells you third and nine, it's not there either. But like, that's the thing, is like, even when we see it, you see Mahomes kind of like look over real quick, and then there's like that little quick improvised pass, and you're like, how does he do that?
You said something there that I want to correct you on. You said, have you seen anybody more aware of where the line of scrimmage is than Patrick Mahomes? You could have just ended it after aware.
Oh, yeah.
Is there anybody more aware in professional sports than Patrick Mahomes at everything?
Yeah, I saw someone post yesterday. It was like, just a little fun fact here. A couple years ago, the Niners in the Super Bowl tried to pull out a Spags blitz and late in the fourth quarter, and then it just shows Mahomes checking down and getting an easy first down. Whereas, like, you see all these other quarterbacks, Brock Purdy, Jimmy G, we've seen Jalen Hurts struggle with these Spags things. They tried to put it on Mahomes. Mahomes like, oh, okay, first down. My game's right after Bob's. It's that first Super Bowl win. You know, similar reasons. Okay. It's the first. And also just, you know, I was at my college house. All my buddies, my family drove down. I mean, we made it a huge deal. We partied.
That whole run could be your top three favorite Chiefs games of all time.
Did you have, like, game food, like with chicken wings and bagel bites?
We had insane buffalo chicken dip, great queso. Mm. We had pizza. We had it all going on.
Where'd you get the pizza from?
We're up Knoxville place.
Mellow
Mushroom. I wish. We were up till like 3 a.m. party. It was incredible. It was euphoric. It was amazing. I
was the Texans game or the Titans game when Mahomes and Kelce showed up to Post Malone in Kansas City? Was that the Titans game?
Yeah, I think so.
They were like playing beer pong with Post Malone before he went out on the stage.
I think he came out
to Mahomes jersey and Mahomes dance when he went out to the...
I don't remember that one.
Oh, really? They showed up to a Post Malone concert and was like, how are they alive? I don't know if that was the Texans game
after
or the Titans.
After the concert?
No, it had to have been the Texans game because the Titans game was a night game.
No, right? The Texans game was the early game.
The Titans game was the first game.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
So maybe it was a Titans game. I can't remember. But I remember a lot of people went to the game and then went to the concert. Because that was like the start of posting. You know, Sunflower came out. All that had came out.
Yep.
So somebody says from the 484, legend has it, the Chiefs and Rams are still out there somewhere scoring touchdowns. Respect that text.
That's really good.
The Super Bowl comeback in Miami versus the Niners, greatest game in Chiefs history. I was there, cried like a baby. Best part of the Titans game. Oh, now we're getting a lot of it. Okay, here come a bunch of texts.
Yeah, I love that best part of the Titans game. That's a great text from the 660.
Read it.
Best part of the Titans game was the entire crowd screaming, Sammy, before Patrick threw it to him on that last
touchdown. Oh, yeah, that last touchdown, yeah.
Yes.
I was down by that time downstairs for that, and I remember watching that play, like, you just knew this was over.
Yeah. Open. Oh, so good.
Somebody says from the 816, the rematch against the Bengals when Kelsey yelled at the mayor to shut his mouth, jabroni.
Don't talk to Mayor L that way. Oh, the mayor of Cincinnati. Oh, that's right, yeah.
November of 28, Chiefs 51 versus Rams 54, greatest game I've ever seen.
It's hard not to say that. That's not hyperbolic, man.
Not all wins have to be the greatest game.
Right, exactly. Not all games have to be a win to be the greatest, because that really was like, that was a better game than... I don't know. Think of a playoff. Have they blown out anybody in the postseason, really?
Really only that Colts game, Mahomes' first playoff game.
That's right.
Kind of a blowout.
Yeah. So
this is Patrick Mahomes' first playoff game against Colts. I went to that game. It was snowing, and it was the best game I'd ever been to in my entire life.
It was so much fun that day because it was snowing.
First home playoff win in 30 years.
Yeah, and it was, I believe it was a day game on a Saturday. So for me, that's right in my wheelhouse. And our bar that day was built in a snowbank, and we had all the drinks in the bar to keep it cold.
That's awesome. Yeah. And beat Andrew Luck, you know, kind of proved everyone like, yeah, hey, we're on the scene.
Oh, it was this after the parade. After the parade. That's when they went to the Post Malone concert.
That makes sense. Okay.
I knew it was something after something like
it's
big.
Like, how were they alive? Yeah.
Yeah. After the parade?
That's even worse.
Yeah, dude. Got that IV, got that drip.
Yeah. I mean, when you know, you got some, you know, Don Julio in you and, you know.
Don Julio, more than that. Mahomes out there, you know, grabbing the lower area talking. Mm-hmm. We ain't done yet.
No, they're not. Sam Munson may think so, but
blew out Miami in the cold. That was one of somebody's favorite games. That was just like the revenge Tyreek game. That's when LeJarius Sneed just covered him like a cheese blanket.
Yeah, be honest with you, there's no chance I was going to that game.
Yeah, dude.
There's not enough money in the world I would have sat outside of that one.
My brother was at that game.
Ugh. They have any fingers left?
One word.
First name is Blake. And he goes on a cruise. He goes on a Caribbean cruise.
Katie Holmes.
No.
Are you listening?
What's your least favorite thing about working with yourself?
Body odor.
You get one word.
On the count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. One, two, three. Velociraptor.
This is One Word on Fesco and Dusty.
The 816 says 13-second game after Romo congratulated Allen. That was my favorite part. Romo was congratulating Allen. I was screaming in my house. You do not know the power Patrick LeVon Mahomes II attains, Tony
screaming?
Romo.
You were not screaming.
That's what you were screaming. You don't know the power.
No, but I was screaming like, this game is not over, dude. This game is not over.
I don't know, Jim.
Look out, Jim. We've got a new sheriff in town, and his name is Joshua Allen. Oh. Shoot.
Just insane. You know, the Chiefs, they tried, but, you know, Josh Allen, the Bills are just so good.
Do it. Do it.
One word on, we'll start with some basketball. One word on Angel Reese. She trademarked the word Mebounds because people started to make fun of her and call her rebounds. Mebounds, she has now trademarked it.
Smart, but I mean, that, let's be honest here. That's not a, you know, an endearing term, but smart to trademark it. If people are going to try to make money off it, you might as well be the one.
Yeah, I think it's intelligent. I mean, if you had a trademark Mac, you know, let me tell you something. If that was your trademark, it's ironic because it's funny, but it's also smart, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's, wow, you have that trademark? Yes, I do. I think LeBron trademarked Taco Tuesday.
Yep.
Right? I mean, like, it's just, if you got it, take it. I mean, Mebounds, yeah. You know, you're wanting to know about how you can get money? There's a way to get money, Angel Reese. Good for you. Also, low ball here. Somebody like pulled her hair over the weekend.
Oh, really?
And they tried to make it look like she was complaining. Dude, they pulled her hair and she was ready to fight the entire team. So, yes,
I would be too, though.
I mean, understand how, like, we give her a lot of crap because of who she is and what she's built up. But also, sometimes it's okay to, like, respect what she does. Mebounds, hilarious.
Yeah, I like funny. It.
McDonald's endorsement, hilarious.
Good job.
Sticking up for yourself when somebody tries to bully you, awesome. So intelligent for her to trademark that.
Yeah, I saw her on something else at the store the other day, too, when I was shopping. She's doing a lot right now.
Hot.
Yeah, she's getting and there's that. One word, the NBA began announcing the starting lineups of the finals yesterday. I haven't done that in the last 10 years, kind of trying to make the finals bigger. One word on them, you know,
In game five.
Yeah, game five. Yeah, start a little late.
Yeah. Yeah. They at game one.
One word on that.
I will say listening is my word because they listen to the fans.
Yeah,
and that's what the fans wanted to see this on TV. I did see a funny tweet about that yesterday. They said at this point in time, NBA Twitter should have a seat on the Board of Governors. Getting this kind of stuff done. So the fans spoke, they listened. And Dusty mentioned it earlier. Fans speak in sports. The NFL listens. Fans spoke in baseball. They listen. Fans spoke in the NBA. You got to listen to what the fans want. And if they're saying they want to see the introductions on TV, why is that a big deal? Put them on. It should be on TV. Those are fun.
It was. Yeah. It was fun.
Renaissance, right? Fans appreciate when they know that you're listening. I can't respond to every text to every show, but I try to respond to most of them because I want to engage with my audience. I want them to feel like they're part of it. I want to feel part of sports. If I put all my time and effort into this, as well as whoever works construction or does insurance or works in sales, whoever it is, you put your time into the sport, you want to give your word out there, hey, this would be kind of interesting, and then it works, you feel part of that because you were trying to force that new sort of beginning to that sport. Hey, a lot of people love, and now at guard from Villanova, 6'5", number one in your hearts and your girlfriend's favorite player, you know, whatever it may be, people like that. You'll never be the Chicago Bulls.
No, but that's what everybody wants to be, that, right?
Yeah. And that's fine, but you won't be.
Right.
But look what happened in baseball. One closer came out and all these lights went nuts and the fans were like, what is this? I mean, I remember when that one guy for the Mets came out to the horns.
Yep.
And everybody was like, this is awesome.
And you say that one guy because nobody can remember that guy's name anymore. Tommy Trumpets was the song, but like, what was it? Diaz? Was it Edwin Diaz? Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I mean, Hunter Harvey had one. Lucas Hersig had one.
Yeah, a little bit forced at times. Not every single person that comes out of the bullpen needs though, especially if they're not getting the job done, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just one of those things where you want to, you know, you want to listen because it pays off in the long run, whether you believe it or not.
Speaking of baseball, one word, Royals are back. It's been a losing streak. It's been a tough month or so now. One word on the Royals today beginning this road.
Opportunity. You have an opportunity to go out there and try to win the hearts back of the Kansas City baseball fan. And right now you're struggling a little bit with that because of the way this last week. Holy my God, what was that play in that baseball game by that Houston Astro player?
That's a big man, too.
I mean, that is a dude diving and contorting his body in all different directions and then three rolls on the grass after he catches it. Wow.
That's a big man play right there.
Yeah. So the Royals have an opportunity tonight to go out there and win the fans back, man. Like, go out there and win some games and get fans back to saying some good things about you instead of complaining about you.
So reality. Reality sets in. You're in the middle of June. The whole beginning of the season, the syllabus, all that stuff is over. And now you play the Rangers, you play the Padres, and you play the Dodgers. Look, you're going to play two powerhouse teams, and you're going to play a team that won a World Series 2 years ago. So reality is setting in. You had a players-only meeting. You're tired of losing. Go show it. Go prove it. Go do it.
Yeah. Put up or shut up time.
Yeah, especially with that players only meeting, right? Like, let's make sure that works.
Yes.
Because usually they don't. I'm just being the honest guy
because
here.
Because in 14, it took about a week and a half to 2 weeks before it really started to kind of show that this team was, you know, steamrolling forward.
I loved hearing Bink yesterday on the players only. I want to hear from Mark Canna.
Yeah, he was pissed about that.
Oh, of course, because players only meetings usually you're losing and it's your last grasp of an effort 100%. Type of thing. And whatnot. So, yeah, the Royals do have a hell of a schedule. Three at Texas, three at San Diego, off. Three at home against Tampa, and then the Dodgers roll into town.
Oh, Tampa before the Dodgers.
Yep, and then you go to Seattle after that.
So six straight on the road.
Gosh,
okay.
I hope we get Ohtani, just so I can go see it.
Yeah, I want to see that, too. One word on Shohei Ohtani last night, pitching for the first time.
Cool.
Yeah,
he was only going to pitch one or two innings last night, hit 100, and did his thing. It's cool to see him back. It's great for baseball.
I mean, just mesmerizing. Like, to watch Dave Roberts' reaction to when he came up. Like, Ohtani, like, have you ever had those moments where you wake up late, you got to get in the shower, throw your clothes on, and get in the car and get there immediately? That was Ohtani last night after he pitched in the top of the first and then let off. He had to like get into the dugout, throw his glove down, put his shin guard on, put his elbow guard on. And it's like, you got a minute and 13 seconds to get in the batter's box. So impressive, magical, generational,
yeah,
whatever you want to put on there.
Multi-generational, really. Yeah. I mean, we haven't seen this since the 20s and 30s, right?
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's 100 years ago.
College World Series, Gage Wood, third no-hitter in the history, 18 strikeouts. Here was him after that incredible performance.
You just came over here, gave a hug to Connor Cunningham. Why?
Because, I mean, I work out with that guy in the offseason, and, you know, like, I mean, I didn't expect to see him here. I mean, and like, I got to play against him. You know, he got there a year late than from when I graduated. But, I mean, I work out with that guy in the offseason. You know, he's a grinder. He works his tail off every day. And he's my scramble buddy, too. And, I mean, I'm looking forward to working with him every offseason going forward. You know, he's going to be he's going to get drafted one day. You know, he's a solid shortstop. I think he was freshman of the year for them. So, of course, I'm going to go over there and talk to my guy. Like, I mean, I'm on cloud nine, and their season ended, but, you know, I mean, I'm going to go tell him I love him, great job, and keep working.
You just threw the third no-hitter in the history of this event. How do you describe your emotions?
I shouldn't have hit the guy. That's it. That's all I got to say.
When did you realize something special was happening?
I mean, I didn't throw a pitch out of the stretch for a while, and I was like, oh.
And your fastball, how did that feel to you?
Man, it's coming out pretty good, it felt like, today. I mean, it's nice and warm, so I was feeling pretty good.
Unbelievable. Got me to my TV about the seventh inning because you heard perfect game, and then he hits the guy. Shouldn't hit the guy. Like, that was his biggest takeaway from that game, and then he talked to his buddy before he even went and celebrated. So, good kid, but that was stellar. That's my one word, stellar yesterday to watch that kid pitch.
It was fantastic. Third inning when he hit the guy. So, he went third inning, I think, is when he hit the guy with the fastball.
Was it the third inning?
Third. And then went the rest of the game and didn't do anything. Didn't falter, didn't do anything. And
then hit a guy in the ninth.
And then the guy he's talking about is the shortstop for LSU who was completely devastated, like just ball, because it was an elimination game.
Yeah. So no, Murray State. They beat Murray State.
No. I thought they beat LSU. Could have sworn it was. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I thought it was LSU.
Arkansas beat Murray State yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. I apologize. I thought it was LSU. But the no-hitter and, you know, then his interview afterwards where he's like, I shouldn't have hit the guy.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, because that kind of reminded me of whenever Mahomes beat Allen in the 13-second game, and then he ran over there and hugged Josh Allen because that's his guy, scramble partner. Mm-hmm. That's his buddy. Like, that's where you know, like, yeah, sports are here, but relationships are above that. And even though you're playing against somebody, it's crazy. And they had the replay on last night, so I was able to watch it from the, like, basically where you started it. Like, 7:30, I got home, I turned it on. It was halftime of the Pacers game, and there was a weather delay in Omaha, so they replayed that game. And that post-game interview was just awesome.
Yeah, really good job by him in that post-game interview to talk about it.
Seems like a great guy.
Yeah, like, that's my guy, man. And then he went out and talked about it. He goes, I wasn't in high school with him. He was, like, the class after I graduated, but we still worked out together. We still knew each other. And, like, you saw him run over to that dugout. Like, Murray State's not supposed to be there.
No. Eighth inning hit by pitch.
That's right. Yeah, I was going to say it was the eighth inning because I saw it thinking the seventh inning, this guy's got a perfect game going. And then he hit somebody in the ninth inning, and the guy leaned into it, and they reviewed it and called him out. I'd never seen that before. That's a good college baseball rule. He did not get out of the way of the pitch.
Love that rule.
And let it hit him in the elbow to get first base, and then we're like, oh, no, he's going to hit this guy. And they're like, no, sorry, pal. You're going back. You're out. You didn't get out of the way of that one. And I kind of like that rule a lot. Arkansas, beating Murray State. There UCLA knocked off LSU yesterday. Okay. And so that kid, I mean, outstanding job by him yesterday.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's really cool to see the family and whatnot in the crowd and do all that kind of stuff. And these are where these kids have an opportunity to truly make a name for themselves right now. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there today who are kind of baseball savants looking at these games going, man, maybe he's a big league pitcher. Maybe that's a draft pick we can go out there and get in the first round. And Arkansas always puts out great baseball players. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's coming from a good program.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.